Australia's wool industry is in a renaissance not seen since the golden era of the 1950s, with record prices set this week and $1 billion in sales in the last 4 months. Strong demand from China and short supplies of wool are behind the surge, with the price signal, the Eastern Market Indicator, or EMI, reaching an all-time high of 1,623 cents per kilogram. Australia's iconic wool industry has experienced its shares of ups and downs, and since a market crash in the 90s, the number of wool-producing sheep in Australia has halved. But this year, the wool market has exceeded all expectations. This series will explore the booming wool price and what it means for the farmers and rural communities across the country that rely on the sector. As Jess Davis reports, many in the industry are hoping this could be the start of another golden era.
Robert Herman first started shearing in the 1970s. Back then, there was a record 180 million sheep that went under the clippers.
And now there's 70 million sheep. That's a tragedy.
Australian wool has a long history. The era of wool prosperity began with high demand from Britain in the early 1900s. After World War II, the industry went through a golden period, and in 1951 was worth nearly 60% of the total value of all agricultural industries. But by 1970, wool prices bottomed. Robert Herman grew up during that time on a sheep farm in southwest Victoria. He has worked as a shearer, a wool classer and a wool broker before he started market analyst company Mercado.
The decline started in about the 1990s. Since then, there's about 100 million sheep have gone out of Australia. You know, that's a huge impact.
In the 1980s, fine wool was in high demand. Price signals rose and merino flocks increased. But a devastating drought and a market crash in the early 90s saw farmers move away from wool. Now, for the first time since the 90s, Robert says the sheep wool population isn't in decline.
If you look at it, we've just had a steady decline. We just kept selling off or slaughtering more sheep each year than we were breeding progressively, pretty much all the way till now. And it's only just started to level out.
At a shearing shed in central Victoria, Danny Wilson is classing wool.
So it's always been in my blood, I guess.
Danny has been classing for 26 years.
There's been a massive change within my time. When I very first started, wool actually had a bit of a dive and went very, very low, which I found I didn't have that much classing out there to do because sheep numbers dropped with supply and demand. So I've seen wool gone from a very bad state to now, which is great for the industry. We can employ more people. We can put more resources into better wools.
Robert Herman says one of the biggest changes in the industry he's seen is the quality of wool and the production of finer microns.
In the 50s and 60s, the average merino micron was 22 and 23 microns. And then in the 1980s, fine down, it became more like a 21, 22 micron average clip. Since 2013, we've seen a steady decline again in micron to around the 19.5 where it sits now.
This year, prices for Australian wool have reached all-time highs. Managing Director of Wool Brokers, Moses and Son, is Marty Moses.
We're experiencing a 15% rise in the value of the wool clip. We've sold $925 million worth of wool year to date, and that's 15% above last year at $728. Back in 2013, it was only $613 million, so that's an increase of 44% in the current year compared to 5 years ago. So, you know, wool producers are experiencing some fantastic prices.
But Robert Herman says now is not the time to be complacent.
The reality is that the big fight for acres is with cropping. And what's happened now, over that period, we've seen the decline of sheep numbers correspond with the increase in cropping acres. It's hard to see that that's going to go away. We might see some changes at the margins where some farmers big into cropping will now say, look, I'll bring back some sheep, but it's unlikely we're going to see a mass swing back into sheep.
He thinks strong lamb prices and increasing productivity in cropping are the biggest threats to increasing wool production in Australia.
We have high wool prices, really good wool prices. We have really good sheep prices. But if they slip, and let's say the wool price retraces 10 or 15%, which wouldn't be unusual, and lamb prices stayed where they are or didn't retrace as much or cropping hung in where it is now, then the risk is that we lose more merino acres to other enterprises.
And are people coming back to wool?
The answer is yes and no. The positive person says, well, look, there's some people buying some more Merino rams. They're holding back a few more ewes. Maybe there's some people who haven't had sheep are buying some Merinos and putting them out. On the flip side, and we know this from clients of ours, there are still people who are making the decision to move out of Merinos to prime lambs.
Robert says the time for change in the industry is now.
When things are good, when prices are good, farmers don't make change and don't agitate for change. The time to change is when there's money about. And this is a good time. There's no doubt about that.
But is there a threat of flooding the international marketplace as Australia produces more wool and more farmers get back into the industry? Not according to South Australian wool producer James Morgan. He says demand is still high and he isn't worried about too much wool entering the market.
I think we'd welcome people back into the industry because it helps to build the market strength and supply, and it'll be quite gradual anyway. It won't be rapid. So I think if it's done sensibly and quietly, I think the market will cope with it quite well.
And for farmers like James who have stuck with the industry, the high prices are helping to take the pressure off.
Farmers always want cash flow. So, you know, we love cash flow is important because it allows us to progress with our farming operations and, you know, look after our families and develop our businesses.
South Australian wool producer James Morgan, ending that report by Jess Davis. Well, as prices for Australian wool soar and optimism returns to the industry, comparisons are being made to the nation's first wool boom in the 1950s. Someone who's best placed to compare the two is 94-year-old Fred Whitby, who has lived through both, on his Merino property in the southeast of New South Wales. He was there in the boom years in the 1950s, and he was there when the industry hit rock bottom in the 90s. Reporter Josh Becker went out to catch up with Fred at his shearing shed, where no matter the ups and downs of the industry, it's something Fred never wants to give up.
94-year-old Fred Whitby is still on hand at his shearing shed at Rocky Hall in southeast New South Wales. Fred's grown up in the wool industry, starting out as a shearer, and now runs 1,100 fine Merino sheep.
Well, I've lived at Rocky Hall all my life, actually. Yeah, my father was born in Rocky Hall. My great-grandfather selected land in 1872.
Born in 1923, it wasn't long before he saw the industry at its worst during the 1930s.
Well, I can remember, I wasn't involved myself, but I can remember when the Depression was on, and well, I know our neighbours sold wool for 9 cents a pound, and ours was like the Whitby's wool was auctioned. It brought 12 cents a pound.
So you've seen wool in some really tough times. Have you also seen it in good times as well?
Yes, actually. 1951 was really the boom time. It was soon after the war, and wool boomed, and there wasn't actually a lot of things they could spend money on.
With little for farmers to spend their money on, there were even reports of rams being driven around in the back of Rolls Royces in the western districts of Victoria. It was a time of great prosperity for all rural communities. And then in the 1990s, the wool market collapsed.
After nearly two decades, the floor price scheme has been buried under a stockpile of 5 million bales and a $3 billion debt.
Historian Charles Massey says the collapse of the reserve price scheme in the 1990s was Australia's biggest business disaster, worth $20 billion in today's money, and halved the customers for woolen products. Fred Whitby again.
Well, yeah, it was tough enough. I didn't mind the scheme, actually, and They had a lot of wool on hand, and they were still trying to increase the price. Well, at that stage, they should have reduced it. I thought it was a bit stupid at that stage, the way they handled it.
This year, fine wool prices have returned to some of the highest levels since 2011, and Fred says he's excited to get his wool out on the market.
I think it's pretty good this year. I'm expecting it to be all right, yeah.
How important is the wool to your farm here? How much of your income is from your wool check?
More than half in here. Like, I do sell a few sheep and some cattle, but yeah, the wool check is the main income.
What are the parts of farming that you still enjoy and still get a kick out of?
shearing, I suppose. Probably because it brings the most income. I used to shear through the week and look after the stock of the weekend, which kept me pretty busy.
You're still farming here on this property at the age of 94. What's kept you going?
Oh, well, probably stupidity. But, it took me a long time to get it together. I don't like sort of parting with us at the moment.
That's 94-year-old wool producer Fred Whitby from Rocky Hall, ending that report by Josh Becker. Well, booming wool prices are making sheep production in harsher parts of the country viable once more. This series has been exploring how the wool industry is changing due to strong prices not seen in half a century. Drought and wild dog attacks have crippled the wool industry in Western Queensland over the past 6 years. But as prices rise, so too is the optimism amongst producers, many of whom were considering leaving the industry. Melanie Groves reports from Western Queensland.
Hughenden in northwest Queensland is cattle country, with the odd flock of sheep here and there. But with the constant threat of drought and predators, farmers here only run sheep at times of high prices, like now.
There's people in the district not far from here that were in sheep, 20, 30 years ago. They're going back into it now. They're building predator fences. I know next door, he's on his own back with his own finances, has started with a view to get back into sheep.
John Wearing is a Hughenden grazier who has seen firsthand the ebb and flow of graziers leaving the industry. But he says local sheep industry is now seeing a revival thanks to a rise in blarm and wool prices.
Down around Longridge there, I know some people have really bought sheep that were in them in the past. It will be difficult for some of the cattle places that got out years ago, just for infrastructure.
John says it's easier for producers to get back into sheep if they maintain their sheep infrastructure, even in the years they're mainly focused on cattle.
One of the reasons when we came home and took over the lease here at ELAB, we made sure we maintained that we were going to keep sheep, just to keep all the infrastructure up and running. As I say, a couple of years ago, we restumped all the shearers' quarters because the mammoth effort that had to go in to do that reminds me all the time now, I've got to stay in it after all that. But the prices at the moment are making a little bit better for us. And once we get a bit of rain and get a few numbers up, I think there's a good future in it.
Boyd Webb from Wiwindilla Station near Muddaburra says with the new infrastructure, farming sheep in remote western Queensland is becoming easier.
Well, probably unfortunately we haven't been able to capitalise as well as we would like to have on wool prices. Obviously, since the late 2000s, wild dogs have certainly played a big part and have been a big problem for us. So we've turned the corner there, and then we've run into this dry spell of drier season. So it's been a culmination of things that have made it harder to capitalise. But hopefully going forward, hopefully that all sticks around for a few years and we can enjoy a few seasons and just get ourselves set up for the next downturn.
Like many producers, Boyd has turned to fencing, investing his own money to keep livestock in and to keep wild dogs out.
Without doubt, the exclusion fencing has been the best method that we've found. We've tried donkeys, we've tried marimas, which all work to varying degrees, and I'm not saying that exclusion fence is 100%, but I think it's probably, if you wanted a percent term, it's probably 90-95% the answer. There's certainly a lot of work involved in them, but hopefully going forward that it'll pay us back.
While fencing is not a new idea, the construction of cluster fences in outback Queensland has been pushed along by a $7 million commitment from the state and federal governments. But that's a drop in the ocean. With each kilometre of vermin-proof fencing estimated to cost $7,000, the government's contribution covers less than 40% of that. And it's not just the price that's the problem. Cluster fences in West Queensland have come under scrutiny amid reports they're being used to trap kangaroos, allowing them to be culled.
Tom King has shot kangaroos for a living. He's the first to admit he's no animal liberationist, but he says what he's seeing is heartbreaking.
I see a lot of roos up against a cluster fence that can't get through.
And I see kangaroos perishing because they used to go into water holes. They can't get through the fence to the water holes now.
Boyd Webb rejects that. He says without the fences, sheep production just isn't viable.
No, we built it as a dog fence to protect the sheep from wild dog attacks.
And wild dog attacks, have they been common recently?
Not since we've put the fence up, no, but before then we were probably losing somewhere between 25 or over 25% of our flock annually. So that's, you know, it was just unsustainable. Our reproduction rate was around 30% or worse. So that was just not a viable way to keep going. It was impossible to keep going, actually.
And what have you seen, if any, in terms of impact or dislocation to wildlife and what native animals?
Oh, none. I can't think of any. There's roos inside the fence and there's roos outside the fence, and plenty of them walk around the outside, or there's plenty of corridors for them to migrate wherever they want to go.
Scott Council is a grazier from near Barcaldine in Western Queensland. And despite the claims cluster fences are not intended to keep out kangaroos, Scott admits the booming roo population during the drought is a problem.
It'd be awesome to just control the roo numbers a bit through mitigation permits and shooters. I don't want to totally eradicate the roo, and I think it's silly if we think you're going to get away with that. It's just not on. They're part of nature, but just to control the numbers, just to minimise the numbers and the impact so that people can get back and run whatever enterprise they wish to run, whether it be goats, sheep, beef, any of those. Now they're on the build, they're on the rebuild. I think they're thicker in areas or other parts. They're definitely a problem. And everybody's got to realise that. But we just need to control them.
Even if kangaroo numbers could be managed, high wool prices, good infrastructure and cluster fences still won't make the grass grow. And for the wool industry to really take off in the West, a heavy soaking is what's needed most. On his Hughenden farm, John Wearing is looking to the skies.
Yeah, I'd like to see before November, I'd like to see, a couple of inches just steady, steady. We say that every year. I know I've been here 5 years and we haven't had a season yet, so I'm just looking forward to seeing some green grass. I remember it as a kid.
Grazier John Wearing from Hughenden in northwest Queensland, ending that report by Melanie Groves and Tom Major. But it's not just farmers facing drought and the threat of wild dogs who are feeling better about the growth of the wool industry. As the price of Australian wool reaches record highs, having money in their pockets is helping wool growers in all corners of the country to improve their farm infrastructure. The wool price indicator is more than 20% higher than this time last year, and rural businesses are cashing in. Farmers are using profits from the boom time to invest in fertiliser, farm infrastructure and transport. Jemima Burt reports from South Australia's southeast.
When commodity prices are good, farmers have three options. Pay off debt, save the money for a rainy day, or buy up big.
It's really good to see, and they are very happy at the moment.
Brittany Clark deals with farmers every day at the local rural supplies store in Kingston in South Australia's southeast, a town that relies on the wool and lobster trades. Her store is getting busier as farmers pocket more money thanks to an improvement of commodity prices. What are the telltale signs that farmers are having a good time versus a bad time usually?
Things like buying something that's not as important, like a high-priced item, you'd say, like super and things like that, they tend to get missed out when years are bad because it's an expensive item.
She's talking about superphosphate, fertiliser, which is one of the highest costs for farmers and the part of business many sacrifice during tough times. But Brittany says the benefits of a thriving commodity price go beyond business. She says the whole town buzzes.
This is the best year I've seen happy farmers, actually, which is, really good. It's happy. They are very happy and it's good to see. When they've got probably, they're selling a mob of sheep or selling their wool or things like that, I think, so they tend to, know that there's money going to come into the bank soon, so they tend to buy it around about then. It's really good to see, and they are very happy at the moment, which when farmers tend to spend money, it goes around and it helps the town.
Andrew Howells is a wool broker with Elders. He says farmers are putting profits back into their businesses.
Definitely where I am, I'm seeing that. So a lot of people doing work on yards and sheds, not completely redesigning their wool sheds, but certainly improving their side yards of their stock yards. Farmers are getting making the opportunity to get new utes. You're seeing ram prices improve a lot. There may be some people that are, you know, refitting the kitchen and things like that. So there's certainly a lot more activity in the economy down here with these wool prices, that's for sure.
James Morgan is a sheep farmer from South Australia's northeast. He says a higher price has helped him pay off debt and invest back into his business.
The impact of increased wool prices allows us to, obviously for people who have any kind of debt structure, to pay off debt, also to fix a lot of infrastructure, fencing, water points, pastures, machinery. So I think it's had a massive impact over the last 5 or 6 years for growers right across the spectrum of sheep production. We've been able to do extensive new fencing, hundreds of kilometres of new fencing and lots of new water points and renovation of old water points, and we've upgraded a lot of machinery in our business.
The rising wool price is giving farmers more confidence to invest in their farm, and upgrades like new fencing and new watering points help to push up the value of the property overall. But farm upgrades aside, property values are already strong thanks to the steady demand for sheep meat and wool.
Look, I think the market circumstances being what they are, if any vendor had any contemplation in the next 3 to 5 years of selling their property, they probably really need to think about whether or not it's right to bring that forward at the moment.
Danny Thomas is the Regional Director for CBRE Agribusiness. He's currently tasked with selling Mount Shanks Station near Mount Gambier, which is expected to fetch around $50 million.
There's more liquidity in the market for properties above $20 million than I've ever seen in my professional career. And the whole array of purchases is sort of happy to look in that space at the moment, not just the corporate and institutional guys, but there's a whole lot of families who are making generational decisions and have more capacity at the moment to deal in that space than they've ever had.
And while well-known bidders grab the headlines, Danny says buyers come from all parts of the sector.
Well, you'll be pleased to hear that it's not only Jenna Reinhardt and Andrew Forrest and Kerry Stokes that are investing money in agriculture. There's a number of very large existing families who are keen to make the next step and continue to grow their businesses. And those guys have really benefited from where commodity prices and land values have come from in the last 2 to 3 years. There's more liquidity in bank lending in agriculture than there's been for a long time. Interest rates remain low and the outlook for commodities remains relatively positive, particularly for sheep, meat and wool.
Danny Thomas, the Regional Director for CBRE Agribusiness, ending that report by Jemima Burt. Well, while optimism amongst wool producers is soaring, stud owners are also on a high. As farmers across the country try to grow or rebuild their flocks, rams are in hot demand. As a result, merino ram sales across Australia are selling out. Joe Prendergast reports.
Gives our clients a lot of confidence to budget, spend bit extra money on their rams with a fair deal of confidence that this is not a flash in the pan.
Joe Darlitz is from Romaquita Pole Merino Stud, which is on South Australia's Eyre Peninsula. Along with many ram breeders around Australia, Joe's just enjoyed one of his best ram selling seasons. Ram sales have sold out and prices are up.
Probably the last 4 or 5 years that they've gone up. Lot, you know, the top end commercial dyes have gone up $200 to $500 per head on the average of, you know, whether it's 3 or 5 or 10 or 12 rams. It's a win-win for everyone, I think. And you know, the wool quality over the last 10 years that South Australia producing has been amazing. And this year in Adelaide, I'm actually not sure how many rams made 15, 20, 25 thousand, but the sale averaged 12, so there would have had to been probably close to 40% make 20 grand or more, which is an amazing result.
Sticking with merinos has been a challenge, particularly in the dry parts of Western Australia. Many farmers there prefer wall-to-wall cropping over mixed farming. Jessica Horstman operates a stud on her family farm near Geraldton in WA, and it was a dry winter in the west this year. People with sheep were forced to sell mobs, and as a result, Jessica wasn't sure how her ram sale would be received this year, but she was pleasantly surprised.
We cleared the shed, which hasn't happened in a long time, so we were really happy with that. Averages were a little bit down, but they all sold, so we were happy with that, and everyone seemed pretty positive. With breeding sheep, there's a lot of other different people involved with, like, your stock agent and your classer and the shearing team and all that sort of thing. It just actually is good to see that work paying off for everyone involved.
Clearing the shed and higher prices have been a long time coming for ram breeders. Georgie Wallace is from the Australian Association of Stud Merino Breeders. She says rams in the mid-micron range of about 18 to 21, which are cutting heavier fleeces, are most in demand.
People are wanting rams that are going to increase their profitability and increase the dollars in their pocket. So they're looking for sheep with probably slightly larger frames, sheep that are cutting plenty of wool. They're a couple of the bigger profit drivers. But it's certainly the middle micron ranges where rams are selling, you know, to extreme levels.
Georgie Wallace reckons sheep and wool prices will remain firm, and that's good news for stud breeders.
People are obviously feeling very positive. I know the stud merino breeders, we've launched a Breed More Merino Ewe campaign last year because we were very worried about the level of merino ewe numbers around the country, and that flows on to merino ram sales. The current market's having a very positive effect on ram sales. You know, some people are getting back into merinos, some people are mating, holding over older age groups of ewes, so therefore mating more merinos to merino rams. So therefore, a lot of commercial breeders in particular are requiring more rams to buy, so that is certainly helping boost ram sales around the country.
I'm not sure on the figures without checking up, but a rough off the top of my head, in the last 15 or 20 years, I guess South Australia would have lost 30 to 50 studs have resigned. That certainly slowed down a lot, and it's great to see a few guys, new guys, wanting to register and come into a game that we love.
Ram breeder Joe Darlitz from South Australia's Eyre Peninsula, ending that report by Joe Prendergast. That concludes our series on the wool price. A big thanks to all our reporters who travelled to many corners of the country to tell this story. You can find the online version on our website at abc.net.au/rural.